Okay, good morning, B'shus Rabbi Kron. So we are on Ayin Gimel, Ayin Aleph, on the very, very top. So last week, when we did Ayin Beis, it was a variety of topics, and we basically ended at the end of Ayin Beis. We're talking about if assorted people, whether they're an Arel, their Tame, could be involved in creating the Mechatas, the water with the ashes that are used as part of the Parah Aduma process. And the first line or two of the Ayin Gimel just ends, it has a couple of lines that are related to that. Then we're going to go to a slightly different topic. So at the very top, V'hizah hator al chatas, al tameh, I'm sorry, and the tahor shall sprinkle on the tameh, and that's on the, it's part of the process on the third day of being metaher. He would do sprinkling, and the Gemara in the note points out how tahor, because it uses the word tahor, mikal shu tami implies, but just because it, otherwise, what's the purpose of the word tahor? Like if you look at the Rashi on top, shatiharti l'chamikan mikal shu tami ledava, that must mean that there must be some part of him that isn't like a complete process. Like what's the purpose of using the word tahor? It means that there's an element of him that's not quite done. That what that means is limate al tefil yom shekasher kasher bepara. It talks about the concept of someone who's a tefil yom. There's a person who goes to the mikvah, but what the process requires waiting until the night passes for him to be 100% tahor. In this case, he's considered tahor in quotes, and it says that someone in that state is allowed to be involved in the sprinkling of the water. So that was. That was kind of connected to what we did last week. So just to wrap that part of it up. The next section we're going to talk about is going to be a bunch of what I would call triangles, which is we're going to learn a bit about Maaser Sheni and Truma and Bikurim and how you learn from some of those things, rules that apply to some of the other things. And in some cases, you might have two or one way and one's the other way. It's a bunch of back and forth. When I first looked at this Amud and I said, oh, this is nice and small. But then the reason it's nice and small is not because it's so easy. It's because Rashi and Tosas had a lot to say. So we'll see. I mean, we'll see. So anyway, Baumine Rav Shesha. So they asked the Rav Shesha, Arel Mahu B'Maser. So about an Arel, someone has not had a bris milah. Is he allowed to be involved in is he allowed to eat Maaser Sheni? So Maaser Sheni, if you recall, is there's Truma that you bring to the Kohen, and then there's Maaser Rishon, and there's Maaser Sheni. Maaser Sheni would have like a different process over different years. And Maaser Sheni, when you brought Maaser Sheni was you would bring it to Yerushalayim and you would actually eat it during Yerushalayim, or alternatively, you would redeem the food that you had for money, and then take that money to Yerushalayim and eat it. So it's something that an individual eats themselves. So the question is, if someone is an Arel, are they allowed to eat Maaser Sheni? So, Ki Hechi D'Elef Pesach B'Maaser Inyan Aninah. So if you remember, earlier on, last a daf or so ago, we learned that by Karban Pesach, we learned by Karban Pesach that someone who is an aninas, God forbid, aninas means that they had a death in their immediate relatives, and they have not yet buried that person, and therefore they're in this limbo state. So by Maaser Sheni, it says that that someone who's an aninas is not allowed to consume Maaser Sheni. And because of that, we derive that because of a connection between Maaser Sheni and Pesach, that someone in Aninas is also not allowed to eat the Karban Pesach. So again, it says by Maaser Sheni that an Onen, we learned by Maaser Sheni that an Onen is not allowed to eat it. And because of a connection to Pesach, Karban Pesach, we derive that by Karban Pesach also that the Onen is not allowed to have the Karban Pesach.
Is that you eat the Karban Pesach?
The Onen is not allowed to eat the Karban Pesach, okay, because an Onen is not allowed to have Maaser Sheni. So there was a connection. Okay. We learned this a daf or so ago. Okay. There was a connection between, I don't remember what the exact connection was, that there was a connection between Maaser Sheni and Karban Pesach. And because by Maaser Sheni and Onen isn't allowed to eat, Therefore, it was derived that by Korban Pesach also they're not allowed, the Onan is not allowed to eat. So what we're going to ask here is Yalev Nami Meiser Mi Meiser Mi Pesach Inin Arela. So we know by a Korban Pesach, it says explicitly in the Torah, V'chol Arel El Yochal Bo, that says it by Korban Pesach. Maybe by using the same connection, you should learn that by Meiser Sheni, an Arel is not allowed to eat. So again, but from Meiser Sheni, we learn, because it says by Meiser Sheni, an Onan is not allowed to eat, we said, all right, Korban Pesach is not allowed to be eaten by an Onan. We know by an Arel, he's not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach. Can we go the other way and say, therefore, someone who is an Arel is not allowed to eat Meiser Sheni? Odilma, maybe you'll say, Chomer Mikal Yalif, that Meiser Sheni is less stringent overall than Korban Pesach. And because by Korban Pesach, which is a lighter situation, you're able to learn a more difficult situation or more strict situation of Korban Pesach, but you can't go the other way. Kal Michomer lo yalif. So when you have something that's a Kal Vachomer, it means that because you do it in the Kal situation, you do it in the quote-unquote simple situation, you obviously should do it in the complex situation or the more strict situation. So here, though, Meiser Sheni Meiser Sheni is the Kal and Pesach is the Chomer. So when you have a Kal, you can learn Chomer from it. Meiser Sheni being the Kal can teach you the Chomer Pesach, but Pesach being the Chomer shouldn't necessarily teach you Meiser Sheni, which is the Kal. So I'm not sure if I'm explaining that clearly, but basically it's like if you have simple and difficult, simple should teach you difficult because difficult should include simple, but difficult shouldn't necessarily teach you simple, right? So Amar Lahu Rav Sheshes answered to them, Tinisu. We can learn this from the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Hatruma v'abikurim. When it comes to Truma and when it comes to Bikurim, Chayavim Alehen Misa. Someone who eats it when they're not supposed to, on purpose, is Chayav Misa, v'chomesh, and someone, a non-Kohen, who eats it by accident, is Chayav to bring a Chomesh. So in other words, if someone who was a Yisrael accidentally ate either Truma or Bikurim, they had to repay it, and they had to pay an extra fifth as like a penalty. So if they ate $100 worth of Truma, they had to pay back $120. The Asurin was Zarin, and both Truma and Bikurim are Asur to a Zar, meaning to a non-Kohen, which I think the Gemara will explain this later on, why this is necessary, because we just said the first statement was that a Zar, someone who's not a Kohen, if they eat Truma or Bikurim, they're Chayav Misa. So obviously you would know this already. But anyway, it's spelled out in this Beraisa, in this Mishnah. V'hein Nichse Kohen, and they are considered the property of the Kohen. If you look at Rashi, unlike that, another 11th or so line, V'hen Nichse Kohen, the Kadesh V'hen is a Isha, that a Kohen, because it's his property, he could use the Truma or the Bikurim to betroth the woman, or the Likach V'hen Avadim, or to buy slaves or karkos, Ubehema, and he's able to do assorted things with it. So because it's his property, he's able to do assorted things with it. And for all of these things, we're going to learn, just the spoiler, for all of these things, these only apply to Truma and Bikurim. They don't apply to Meiser. So again, so Meiser is able to be eaten by anybody. Meiser Sheni is able to be eaten by anybody. It's not usher to a czar. There's no penalty. It's not the property of the Kohen, right? So again, ba'on be'echad u'be'meya. And if you accidentally mix Truma or Meiser with non-Truma or Meiser, the way you nullify it is you put that into a mixture of 101 parts. And once you have it in 101 parts, you're able to take it back out. If you look at Rashi, or Alva B'Meiser, Batal B'Ro, V'lo Bai Echad V'Me'a. So again, it's Meiser is different. So all of these things, Truma and Bikurim are one way. And Meiser is the other way, right? So Truma or Bikurim, if they get mixed in, you need this mixture of 101 things to bring it back out. When it comes to regular Meiser, you just need a majority. Utu'unin rechitzas yadayim, that you need to wash your hands before you consume it. V'ha'erev shemesh, and someone who is tamei and goes to the mikvah has to go to the mikvah, has to wait until nighttime, right, before they're able to take it. So all of these things apply to truma and bikurim, but they do not apply to ma'aser sheni. So again, a zar, meaning a non-kohen, is not allowed to eat truma or bikurim. He is allowed to eat ma'aser sheni. The truma and bikurim are actual property of the kohen, and therefore he's allowed to use it for things. It's not the property of the kohen when it comes to ma'aser sheni. If you have a mixture, you need 101 times for truma and bikurim. You only need a majority when it comes to ma'aser sheni. You have to wash your hands formally to eat truma or bikurim. Doesn't apply to ma'aser sheni. And when it comes to tuma and tahara, you have to wait until the nighttime passes, until the next day, before you're able to have that. All of those apply to truma and bikurim, but they do not apply to ma'aser. So now that we've kind of laid all that out. So the question was, what is it? What does this have to do with anything? So the imisa. So the only point is that we did not learn that an RL is not allowed to eat ma'aser sheni, when we know we've learned that an RL kohen is not allowed to have truma. An RL kohen is not allowed to have bikurim. So therefore, because it didn't specify that ma'aser sheni is one of these differences, so it's kind of it's left out, right? So you have this list of things that says these are the differences between truma and bikurim and ma'aser sheni. We didn't spell out that RL is one of those differences. So that therefore you might say RL asra behen, that RL is not allowed to be partake of truma and bikurim. Masha'en came a ma'aser, but an RL would be allowed to eat ma'aser sheni because it's not spelled out. So the Gemara gives an answer that I'm sure Arnon's going to hate. Tana v'shayer, that the Tana only brought some of the list. It wasn't a conclusive list. So the list was certain things, but not everything, so there's other things. So the Gemara asks, which it typically asks when it has this type of things, Umay Shire, Dai Shire, so what else? So when it says that it left something out, this couldn't be the only thing it left out. There must be other things that are left out. So what other things are left out? Shire, it did leave out other things. Daka, tiny sefer, that the later part of the Mishnah says, Yesh b'maiser b'bikurim, there are things that apply to maiser sheni b'bikurim, Masha ain't kan v'truma. So again, like I said, there's like a triangle, right? There's ma'aser and bikurim. There's ma'aser, bikurim, and truma. So we've learned these are the things that apply to truma and bikurim that don't apply to ma'aser. Now we're going to say these are things that apply to ma'aser and bikurim that don't apply to truma. Shal ma'aser v'abikurim tu'unin hava'os makom. That when it comes to ma'aser and bikurim, you have to bring them to Yerushalayim to eat them. Like I mentioned earlier, the rule is by bikurim, by ma'aser sheni, right, that you would have your produce that you designate for ma'aser sheni. You either have to physically bring it with you to Yerushalayim to eat it, or you have to redeem it for money, take that money with you, bring it to Yerushalayim, and physically eat it in Yerushalayim. But a kohen, anywhere that they are, is able to eat truma. If a kohen is in Be'er Sheva, the kohen in Be'er Sheva is allowed to eat truma in Be'er Sheva. Uti unin vidui. And if you recall, like, there's a whole concept of vidui ma'aser and vidui bikurim it's in the parshiyos that we read over the last few weeks. So when someone brings bikurim, they say, you know, bi'arti hakodesh min habayit, he says all this whole thing. And there's also something called vidui ma'aser that they bring, and that doesn't apply to no such thing by truma. For aser la'onin, and an onin is not allowed to eat ma'aser or bikurim, but an onin kohen, this implies, is allowed to continue to eat truma because that's their primary sustenance. However, Rabbi Shimon disagrees and lets an onan eat bikurim, the chayav biur, and ma'aser sheni and bikurim are chayav biur. That if they're left over, that if you don't actually use them up, there's like a window of time that they have to be brought, and if they're not brought by that window of time, they have to be burnt. However, Rabbi Shimon poter. Rabbi Shimon says bikurim do not need to be burnt. So basically, we've now learned that there are the sort of things that apply to ma'aser and bikurim that don't apply to truma. Of those, at the end, we learned that Rabbi Shimon disagreed on a couple of them. He disagreed about onen, and he disagreed about poter, about bir, when it comes to Bikurim. So Viilu Asur Levara Mehim Betuuna. So the law is that someone is not supposed to burn the Bikurim and Meiser Sheni for their personal use when they're Tame. So you have someone who's Tame, therefore they're not allowed to eat their Bikurim or Meiser Sheni in theory, right? So they're supposed to burn it, but they're not allowed to burn it in such a way that they get benefit. They can't put it in their fireplace and get warmth from it. V'ochan mitumas atzma loke, and someone who eats it when they're in truma, they get malchus for doing this. They're not allowed to do that. Masha ein kein mitruma. These things do not apply to truma. V'lokasani, and these things are not spelt out. Alma tana v'shayer, and these also are things in the same Mishnah that are included but not necessarily stated. So let's just go a little bit further and then we'll wrap for today. So the Asur and La'onin Rabbi Shimon Matar, so we learned at the end that there were these things that the Mishnah said but Rabbi Shimon disagreed with, and they were about an Onin, is he says is an Onin is allowed to eat Bikurim. Mailahu, so how did the Rabbanan know that Bikurim are prohibited to an Onin? Dechsev, it says in Devarim, Glosucha lecha v'sharecha masar deganecha v'siorosh levitzarecha v'chumas yadecha. You can't eat outside your cities, the Meiser Sheni and all this, the truma of your hand. V'amar mar, and Mar said in a braisa, Trumas yadcha, when it says Trumas yadcha, when it uses the word yadcha, elu bikurim, these apply to bikurim. V'itkish bikurim v'meiser. And you can compare, by virtue of these things being in the same pasuk, that it says Meiser deganecha, and it says Trumas Yadcha in the same pasuk, and he implies that Trumas Yadcha means Bikurim, because they're together, V'itkish Trum Bikurim Meiser, that you're allowed to then say what applies to Meiser applies to Bikurim, Mab Meiser Isur L'onen Ab Bikurim Oser L'onen. Just like Bikurim and Onen is not allowed to have, so too, an Onen is not allowed to Meiser, also an Onen is not allowed to Bikurim. And Rabbi Shimon holds differently. Truma Karina Rachmana, when it says Trumas Yadcha, yes, it's called, it maybe applies Bikurim. Ma Truma Muteris Le'onin is to be treated like Truma, that because it's called Trumas Yadcha, yes, it means Bikurim, but because it uses the term Trumas Yadcha, it means compare it to Truma. Just like a Truma is allowed to be eaten like it by an Onin. Bikurim mutar le'onen. Same way, Bikurim are also mutarim le'onen. So the machlokas is whether you compare Bikurim to Meiser or you compare Bikurim to Truma. The Chayav b'biyur of Rabbi Shimon Poter, and the other disagreement was about biyur, that the once that the Mishnah said that it's Chayav biyur and Rabbi Shimon Poter. Mar Makish, in this dispute, It's the same thing that there is a they compare Bikurim with Meiser Sheni again. Umar Malok Lomakish, and Mar and Rabbi Shimon doesn't compare Bikurim to Meiser Sheni. So again, it's the same thing. So in both of these cases, at the basis of the disagreement is whether you're comparing Bikurim to Truma, in which case it would follow the laws of Truma, or whether you're comparing Bikurim to Meiser Sheni, in which case you'd follow the laws of Meiser Sheni. So with this, we'll stop for today. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful day.